Morning. Today's up in the Rosaris Lamites, we're on Lamit Chesem and Beis. We are about halfway down on the Amud. Lines are just about to get wide, two lines from there. And much to do about fish today. Fish is a big discussion. Finishing up the Gemara on Bishul Akum, the Gemara yesterday introduced us once again to the topic of Bishul Akum. We started, we restarted the Bishul Akum discussion on Lamit Zayin and Beis when the Gemara turned to Shlakos, which is one of the 10 things mentioned in the Mishnah that were asked by the Chachamim, mostly having to do with Chasnas. And if a non-Jew cooked food for us, so then we can't eat it because it would lead to social intimacy and eventually lead to intermarriage. As I pointed out yesterday, two general points that we discussed yesterday in terms of Bishul Akum. One is the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam that the Issur of Bishul Akum predates the other Gzera Derabbanans, right? The Gzera on Pasuk, Gzera on Shemen. Those are later Gzeras around the time of Shammai and Hillel. But in terms of the Issur of Bishul Akum, so he says it's an ancient Issur. Obviously, can't identify when exactly it came about, but it's ancient. It comes beforehand. And Rabbeinu Tam arrives at this conclusion just simply based on the fact that the Gemara were looking for a source of Bishul Akum, so the Gemara turns to Psukim in the Torah. Even though the Gemara ends up saying it's an Asmachta, it's a Din Derabbanan, it's a Kras Machta Ba'alma, but the Gemara at least attempted to learn it out from Psukim. Says Rabbeinu Tam, it speaks to this idea that it's an older and an ancient gzera. Another general point that I discussed yesterday is that there's a Rashi on the very top of Lamed Chesem and Aleph. Rashi, the first Rashi on Lamed Chesem and Aleph, says that the reason why the Chachamim banned Bishul Akum is because they may introduce non-kosher food into the Bishul Akum. So it's interesting because Rashi in the Mishnah says it has to do with Chasnas. So as I pointed out yesterday, it really could be a hybrid, meaning that the din derabbanan of not eating their cooked food could be just simply a hybrid of two of these reasons. One could be the underlying reason. One could be the process in which, or I should say rather, the outline, the parameter. That's a better word I'm looking for. The parameter in which the chachamim are going to make the gzera, meaning the motivation could be chasos, but in terms of how the gzera is to be made, it could be the concern of introducing non-kosher food. And the Gemara went on to some details regarding Bishul Akum. Notably, yesterday's daf, we discussed the two major heterim when it comes to Bishul Akum. One is that if the food could be eaten raw and he cooks it for you, that's not subject to Bishul Akum. And two, if it doesn't go on the table of kings, so in other words, it's a very simple food, it's not a complex food, so then it also is not subject to Bishul Akum. Okay, those are the basic points that we went over yesterday, and today we're going to continue along these lines of Bishul Akum, but we're really going to be focusing a lot today on the topic of fish. We are on Lamed Ches Amud Beis, two lines before the lines start getting wide, Tanur Rabbanan. So the Gemara turns to a list of various foods. Forgive me, I'm not going to translate a lot of these foods, simply because I don't know, but whatever, various foods which would be mutter. Beitzot tluya asura, a roasted egg would be asura. Remember yesterday we had opinions regarding a roasted egg. There is an opinion, it's a really interesting one, that an egg roasted by a non-Jew is an opinion that it's not subject to Bishul Akum. Now that's a very strange opinion, meaning an egg, generally speaking, can't be eaten raw. We've seen some people eat it raw, but generally speaking, no. Rashi offers an argument, we saw this yesterday, that because you're not touching the actual food itself, so therefore it's not subject to Bishul Akum. It's a svara, it's one that it's hard to understand, but anyway, that's what Rashi said yesterday. Meanwhile, this Bryce over here clearly puts it under the category of usr, meaning that if a non-Jew cooked an egg, so that would be usr. Shaman, what about oil? Rabbi Yehuda Nasi Beisino Nimno Olav Itiruhu. So as we already discussed extensively in this last couple of dapim, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, which actually a little more accurate, it's Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya. So he was the one who permitted oil. Tanya hi amatali hi pashali hi shiata. So the Gemara brings a brisa that there's a certain food that goes by multiple names. My shiata, okay, the Gemara wants to know, what is that? Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chanan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Ha, Arbe Mishnan, Denafik, Hai, Uvda Mitzrayim. So this episode happened 40 years ago. Reports Rabbi Bar Bachana. And Rabbi Bar Bachana Didei Amar Hashisu Shnin Denafikai Uvda Mitzrayim. Now that was what Rabbi Bar Bachana, according to Rabbi Yochanan himself, he said that the incident happened 60 years ago. Volo Pligi Mar Bishnei Mar Bishnei. Now it's the same incident that they're referring to. It's just that each person is just simply sharing the story from the number of years after it happened. Rav Yochanan 40, Rabbi Barachana 60, but any event. Here's the episode that happened in Egypt. And that is Maisu Bitzu de Karapsa, Ubizra de Kitna, Ubizra de Shavalisa. So there were various seeds that were brought. Seeds of the carpus, seeds of the flax, seeds of the fenugreek, Vitale Bahade Hadade Bepshure, and then it was soaked in warm water, Vishavkole Ad de Mekabel, and basically they would leave it until it sprouts, and then they would take some sort of earthenware, a new earthenware jug, and fill it with water, Vitarabuhu Gargishna, and they would fill it with some sort of clay, and now they would take these really soft seeds and they would apply to the clay. And then what do? We went to the Schwitz, we went to the bathhouse. So we were gone for maybe an hour, I'm guesstimating, but we were gone for maybe an hour, we came back. So then when we came back, so these seeds now turn into shoots. So they're telling this, what you and I would describe as this wild story of basically how seeds are turning into shoots in about an hour. Maybe their bath was 2 hours. But in other words, what for us would seem to be unnatural. Va'achli minayu, and then we would eat from the shoots. V'kari mi b'nesi d'reishar atifra d'karasi, and we had a chill that went from our heads all the way down to our toes. Am Rav Ashi, Amali Rabbi Chanina Milin. Now when Rav Ashi, and some say, Rav Ashi quotes that Rabbi Chanina regarding this story, he says Milin. You know what the story is? It is a bunch of words, meaning that he does not believe the story. The story he feels is it's hyperbole. It's a fiction. It's a story. That's what it is. The Amrile Bimilin. Now some have another version of his commentary to the story, and that is Bimilin, as Rashi explains, with words. Meaning, how is it possible to go from seeds to shoot in an hour or 2 hours? And the answer is magic. Now, we're in Egypt, and as we know, Egypt, of course, is the source of sorcery. And so, fine. So a little bit of magic to help the seeds grow. Tana Rabban, the Gemara, relates the following brisa. Ha kuspan shal de kochavim. Okay, kuspan is some sort of date residue. Meaning, after making their beer, so they empty it out, and on the bottom you have basically the date dregs. So ha kuspan shal de kochavim, shehuk muchamim, biyara gedola, also biyara ketana mutter. So if cooked in a large pot, it would be aser. If cooked in a small pot, it would be mutter. Difference between a large pot and a small pot, meaning in terms of kashrus, there's no difference. The issue is that maybe some other food was introduced together. And basically what the argument of the Gemara now is that if it's in a large pot, so you can have non-kosher food get mixed in, but in a small pot, so it's impossible to put in, let's say a small animal, or let's even say a small bird. Okay? And there's a reason why I choose those examples. You'll see why. In other words, a small pot is a pot where you can't basically fit a bird into such a small pot. So the Gemara says, okay, you can't fit a small bird into the pot, but you cut the small bird up, and you can fit the parts of the small bird into the pot. Okay, so the Gemara makes a small correction, meaning the pot is so small that you can't even fit the head of a small bird. Another brisa tells us that it would be mutter if this date residue was cooked up in a pot. So lakasha kamandam nosin tam of gam aser, ha kamandam nosin tam of gam mutter. Again, going back to a machlokus which we introduced ourselves to just the other day, and here's the second time the Gemara is going to bring it up, and the Gemara is going to bring this up in Avodah Zarah numerous times, and that is the idea that when I have a taste that's absorbed in the walls of the pot, and 24 hours comes and goes, is this taste now disregarded or still regarded? And so it's a machlokus throughout the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. No Saint Tam Lefgam, so some say it's Aser, some say it's Mutter, and that now is going to be the distinction between if, let's say, they cook this date residue in one of their pots, and let's even say that this pot was used for something which was non-kosher, after 24 hours, the taste now is no longer regarded. It now falls under the category of nosin tam of gam. Some say it's mutter, some say it's aser. Those who say it's mutter would say that the date residue they cooked in it would be fine. And obviously, if you say it's aser, the date residue would not be fine. Amar sheshes hay mishka, shlika da armai. If you have oil that was cooked up by a non-Jew, aser. It would be aser. Amar Rav Safra l'may nechushla. So Rav Safra says, I'm not getting it. What's the problem? So the Gemara says, what are you worried about? That they're going to introduce a little bit of wine into it? You know how wine and oil works. It doesn't work. Meaning, they'll separate. And if you're worried about Bishul Akum, we're talking about oil. Oil could be eaten in its raw state. Since it can be eaten in its raw state, it's not subject to Bishul Akum. And what about the pots they're using? The pots they're using, well, let's assume that they weren't used in the last 24 hours, and we subscribe to the opinion of Nosin Tam of Gam is in fact mutter. So what are you worried about? So you have these dates that were cooked by the non-Jews. My, what would be the halacha? If the dates are sweet, then we're good. We're good to go, because, of course, a sweet date can be eaten raw, so him cooking it is not subject to bishalkum. If it's a bitter date, and it's so bitter that I cannot eat it in its raw state, and it can only be eaten cooked, so then it's going to be awesome. We're talking about a date that is somewhere in the middle between sweet and bitter. And as Rashi points out over here, it could be eaten al yidei hadchak, but in other words, but it's somewhere between the two. My, amaluhu maiti bailuchu, the Rabbi Asi, the Rabbi Aser, umanu Levi. So the Gemara says, Levi was the one who says that it is in fact Aser, if you have this date that's somewhere between sweet and bitter. Shesisa. The Gemara now discusses a shesisa. It is some sort of cooked food. It is made out of the flour of roasted grains that were dried in an oven. And some make it out of grain of wheat and barley. Some make it out of lentils. Rav Shari Avu Deshmo V'Levi Asrei. So it's a machlokis amarayim, whether or not, when this food is cooked by a non-Jew, whether it would be mutter or aser. Rav says it's mutter. Father Shmuel, together with Levi, says that it's aser. Now, bechit v'sari kol emel pligi d'sharei. Now, if you made it with either wheat or barley, so then everyone's of the opinion that would be mutter. And b'tapalche d'chala. Now, if it was made with the beans, mixed together with vinegar, kol emel pligi d'aser. So then it's going to be also, because of course vinegar is a byproduct of wine. As we already discussed earlier, wine, of course, is wine that was produced by them or even handled by them is going to be also. Same thing is true with vinegar, unless we made the wine and then it turned into vinegar. But if they made the wine and they turned into vinegar, it's still going to be also. So ki pligi b'tapach demaya. So the Gemara says we're talking about some sort of dish made out of beans that was mixed together with water. Marsav gazrin and how marsav lo gazrin. And the only question is that since the beans sometimes is made with vinegar, so even though this particular dish was made with beans and water, but because there is a lot of people who add vinegar to it, so therefore the question is whether or not we make gzera, we don't make gzera. Ikedam, the Gemara has another version of this discussion. B'tapach demai kulam lo pligi d'aser. If it's beans together with water, everyone says it's aser, ki pligi d'chit v'sari. The only debate is regarding this dish that's made out of wheat and barley. Marsav gazrin and how marsav lo gazrin. And again, the question of whether or not Igzera is made or not made. Amar Rav, Tre Minishisisa, Shadar Barzilai Giladi LeDavid. When David was running, so he was sent two cooked dishes from Barzilai HaGiladi. One was made up of wheat and barley, and the other one was made up of lentils. Dichsiv, Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Mishka V'Sapus V'Kliyotzer Chitim, Usa'orim V'Kemach V'Kali. So you see the word vikali mentioned once in the pasuk, pul v'adashim vikali. So you see that there was two roasted dishes in this pasuk, one of the barley wheat type and the other one of the lentil type. V'hashu dekamavke itzani tzani l'shuka denarda. Now it's brought out in baskets to the market of Nada. V'leis techayishla the avua deshmul v'levi. And the Gemara says, our practice, the Gemara, is that we do buy it even though it was prepared by a non-Jew, and nobody is concerned for the opinions of the father Shmuel together with Levi. We're now talking about pickled foods where wine was introduced into it. Now, the pickling process is not cooking, meaning obviously it softens the food and it prepares it, but in terms of the Isser of Bishul Akum, like we said in yesterday's daf, it has to be Bishul Al Yedei Or, it has to be cooking through a fire. So over here, the pickling itself is not significant, where if all the non-Jew was just pickle it, that in of itself would be fine. However, in the pickling process, they add a little bit of wine. And that now creates a problem. And the Mishnah says, therefore, you're not allowed to eat it. So, Amr Chizkiya lo shanu ela shadarkan. Ava biyadua asur afila ba'ana. Now, what is of interest in the Mishnah, and this is what the Gemara is commenting on, is, wait one second. It's pickled, and some wine was introduced into it. Or I should say better, maybe some wine was introduced to it. At times, wine was introduced into it. So, I don't understand. This is basically the Gemara's question. If wine is introduced into it, and the wine was handled by a non-Jew, so we're talking now about Stam Yenam. Stam Yenam is also ba'achila uvehana'a. Meanwhile, it's in our Mishnah, meaning the Lamin Hei Mishnah. The Lamin Hei Mishnah is only talking about those things which are also ba'achila, not ba'hana'a. Those things which are Asar Bahana go back onto the Chavtes Mishnah. So basically the Gemara is wondering, hey, I'm confused. If wine was introduced into this pickle, into this pickled vegetables, so it should be Asar Be'achila Uvehana. So, okay, now that I presented the problem, now you'll see the solution. Amr Chizkiya lo shanu ela shadarkan. Chizkiya said, our Mishnah is talking about a case where sometimes it's put in, sometimes it's not. Aval biyadua. Also, I feel about Hana. If you know for sure that they introduced into this pickling some wine, so then for sure it's going to be Asr Ba'ana. Umaisha memorius to Shari Rabbanan Ba'ana. So the Gemara says, wait one second. Fish brine. Remember the oil extracted, the fat extracted from the fish? Where there, they threw a little bit of wine in. And the opinion of the Chachamim is that it is Asr Ba'achila, but not Ba'ana. So the Gemara says, I'm not following. We know wine was thrown into it. How come it's only Asr Ba'achila? How come it's not Asr Ba'ana? Explains the Gemara. Asam la'avuri zuhuma ha'chalim tuki taima. So the Gemara says, the wine put into the Morias functionally is just there to remove the fishiness from that, from the fish fat. And so therefore it is not there as an additive flavor. It's only there to just simply get out a little bit of that nasty taste, that nasty smell. However, when we're talking about the wine that was added to the pickling, that is limituke, that's the sweetening. Rav Yochanan says no. Even if you know in the pickling that they throw a little bit of wine in, it's fine. Again, to be clear, you can't eat it, but you can get hana from it. So, Maishnami Murias, the Gemara says, le Rav Meir. So how is that different for Murias and Rav Meir? Now remember, according to the opinion of Rav Meir, Murias is also even Bahana'a. So now, let's put these two side by side. I have the pickling where we know that wine was added to it. It's only Asr Ba'achila, according to everybody, even Rav Meir. I have Murias where wine is added to it, and it's Asr Ba'achila Uvehana, according to Rav Meir. So the Gemara says, how do you understand that? Hasam, top of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, Hasam Yediya Mamasho, Hachalo Yediya Mamasho. Rashi explains. In the case of the pickling, so Yediya Mamasho. Not only are you tasting the wine, but the mamashos of the wine is recognizable. Rashi writes, Share matbilim bo, va'rotev nechal, va'yayin nechal imo. In other words, basically what you're doing is you're dipping in it. I'm sorry, not the pickling, sorry. I'm sorry, the morias. So in the case of the morias, so you're dipping into this fish fat, the wine is there, and it's, the wine is actually sensed, meaning it's mamashos, so the wine is there. But hachalo yediya mamashon, so over here in terms of the pickling, even when you're adding the wine, you're not really eating the wine. In other words, the wine is there as a complimentary flavor, but you're not really eating the mamashos of the wine. You're really eating just primarily the yerek, the vegetable, and therefore it's only asr ba'achila, not asr ba'hana. Okay. Continuing in the Gemara, Vatar Shufa Vitzir Shein Bo Dagam. Now this continues now in that Mishnah Lamed Hay. This takes us back. And the Mishnah Lamed Hay then talks about other things that are prohibited by the Chachamim, and really with a concern that non-kosher was introduced. So for example, Tar Shufa Vitzir Shein Bo Dagam. So my chilek, we're talking about the chilek fish, Amarav Nach, Maraba, Amarav Zul Sultanis. So it's the Sultanis fish. We've discussed this already a number of times. So Tana's fish is a fish where when born without scales, but then over the course of its life develops scales, and such a fish would be kosher. So the Gemara then asks, well, if that's true, then why is it asur? Meaning, why is it listed in our Mishnah? So the Gemara says, because what ends up happening is that when it's netted, so there's kosher and non-kosher fish that are swimming in the same schools. And so when netted, non-kosher fish get caught up in the net. And when the non-Jews prepare it, they don't separate the kosher from the non-kosher. Everything gets cut up together. And basically, now you have a tarovis, you have a mixture of kosher and non-kosher cut up fish. Tanur Rabbanan, the Gemara continues with a brisa. If, let's say, the fish is born without scales, but scales develop over the course of its lifetime. The Gemara gives examples. Could go in sultans va'afitz. Harez them mutter. So such a fish would be permitted. Let's say it does have scales, but the moment that you take it out of the water, the scales start coming off. So that also would be fine. Kagon. Akunis va'apunis katas pastayas va'achsta patayas va'utnis mutter. All these types of fish would be in fact mutter because they had scales. In other words, even though you take them out of the water, the scales fall off. That would be fine as well. Achiz Rabbi Abba b'kesari kirva dagim va'uvran. If let's say you have the innards of a fish together with its eggs, so nikachem mikol adam, so you can buy them from anyone. Cheskasa mein abayim elami mi plusa ve'aspanya. So the fat and the eggs, even though I don't know from what fish they come from, could be from kosher, could be from non-kosher, but the Gemara says is that at that particular place there was a general presumption that they came from kosher fish. In fact, Abaye gives a tremendous kula. I mean, it's not going to help us, but it's a tremendous kula. You go to the river of Bav Nahara, and you pick up any fish from that river, and that fish will be kosher. Okay? A river that only is going to yield kosher fish. Now, the obvious question, why would that be? So the Gemara offers a couple of suggestions. In other words, nice, reasonable ideas, although the Gemara, you'll see, is going to reject a lot of them. Perhaps, as the Gemara look, another notable difference between kosher and non-kosher fish is that kosher fish have some backbone. They have vertebrae, which allows them to fight a current. Non-kosher fish is, that don't have a vertebrae, and therefore they have a harder time fighting a current. Perhaps this river has such a strong current, so therefore only kosher fish can exist in such a river, not non-kosher fish. The Gemara says, V'aka chizina dekai. The Gemara says, that's a wonderful argument, but empirically it's not true. Meaning you go to rivers with strong currents, and you're going to see non-kosher fish there. So that was a nice try, but no. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it has to do with the fact that they're in this particular river, it's a very high salt content of the river, and maybe for fish who do not have scales, so they could not handle such a high salt content. So the Gemara says, v'hakeh chazina tekai. But again, the Gemara says, that's a wonderful suggestion, but empirically, it's just not true. Meaning, even in salt water, you're going to find non-kosher fish. Elamishim d'lomar betina dagtame. So the Gemara ends up conceding and yielding that, look, it's just the fact that in this particular river, the only fish that come from that river are just kosher fish. Meaning, that's the only fish that are farmed in that river. So Amar Ravina Haina Dekashav Chebei Nahar Guza V'Nahar Gamda Sire. Now Ravina says that two rivers were diverted into this particular river that we're describing, and because now you have other river sources now being diverted into this river, therefore now you have kosher and non-kosher fish in such a river, so you can't just simply go fishing and indiscriminately whatever comes up on your rod, okay, now it's good, and no longer is the case. Amar Abaye Haichamer Diyama Shari Ture Diyama Aser. Abaye points to two sea creatures. One is a sea donkey and the other one is a sea ox. Now, I cannot tell you nowadays what these sea creatures are, but in other words, they're usher. Rashi over here has a fascinating line. It's based on a Gemara in Chulin. Rashi over here writes that for every land animal, there is a complementary sea animal, Rashi says, with one notable exception, the chulda, right, the weasel. The weasel does not have a complementary sea animal. Okay, so says Rashi as per the Gemara in Chulin. Now, just to help you remember that the sea donkey is going to be permitted, and the ox donkey is going to be usher. So in other words, just, it's the inversion of the land animals. Meaning the land animals, the donkey obviously being not kosher, and the ox being kosher. So the sea ox is now going to be not kosher, and the sea donkey is going to be kosher. Amar Ravashi Shaper Shvarnuna Shari. The Shvarnuna is going to be permissible. You're going to see a lot of the nun word used today. So nun is an old word for fish. Ninve, right? Maybe you remember. So in Ninve, so they worship the fish. That was their god, was fish. The letter nun itself, by the way, the letter nun is a hook, meaning that which is used to actually catch a fish. So Amar Rav Ashi Shvarnuna Shari. So the Shvarnuna is permitted. And Kodesh Nun Aser, but there's another fish, the Kodesh Nun, which is prohibited. V'simancha Kodesh LaHashem, a great mnemonic, Kodesh LaHashem, meaning it's for God, but it's not for us. Igadami Kevinuna Aser. Now in another version, the Kevinuna is Aser. V'simancha Kivrei Avdi Kochavim, the graves of the Avdi Kochavim, obviously something that we should be distant from. Rabbi Akiva Iklal Ginzuk, second time now in the Masechta, we describe Rabbi Akiva taking a trip to Ginzuk. You remember our last trip? That Rabbi Akiva went to Ginzuk, they asked him three questions, and he didn't know the answer. So?
That was Lod.
I thought it was Ginzuk.
No, Lod.
Lamed Dalin? Yeah, yeah. Today my memory is good. Just today. But no, Rabbi Akiva went to Ginzuk. It was back on Lamed Dalin. So Rabbi Kiva Ikla Ginzuk. So Rabbi Kiva goes to the town of Ginzuk. Aisalakam Ehu Nuna, Davidam Lechipusha. So they brought him a fish that looked like a chipusha. So in other words, but it didn't have apparent scales on it. So Chavya Bedikula Chaza Bekapi Vishariye. So what he does is he hits it with a stick and you see the scales coming off. So the scales were very faint, but they were there. And so therefore he was matur. Rav Ashi Ikla Letam Durya. Rav Ashi goes to the town of Tamturia. So they brought him a fish that looked like, Rashi seems to describe it as some sort of anglefish, but whatever the case is. And Nakila Hadiyuma, he held it out to the sun for a day. And Chazadave Beit Simcha Visharia. There were little small scales now coming off the fish as the fish now is drying. It was mounted to the fish. In other words, basically, there's no shear for the scales. As long as the scales are there, even though they're not perfectly detectable, but if you can literally either bang out the scales or dry and see the scales, you're good. Rav Ashi Ikla Lahu Asra Aisa Lakami Nuna Davidame Lish Shafer Nuna. So a fish that was brought that looked like a Shafer Nuna, Chafya B'Meshich Lechivrei, what he did is he hit it over a white basket. There were these very small black scales that fell, but once he contrasted it with the white basket, Chazabe Klapi Visharye. So you see the scales, and he was matur that as well. Rabba Barbachan Ikla Leikra Dagma, Kravelate Sachanta. Rabba Barbachan goes to a town, they bring him a fish. Shamilahu Gavra Davikarle Bate. However, at first he thought the fish is kosher, but then he heard somebody, overhear somebody say, hey, could you pass me that bati? Now, to you and I, that doesn't mean anything. Rashi points out, it's the name of a non-kosher fish. Amra Midika Karile Bati Shmamina Davatame is Bay. They're calling it Bati, something fishy is going on over here. That's right. Terrible pun. At least one a day. So Lo Achomine, so he refused to eat it. Tsa Lisafra Ayimba, next morning he sees it. Ashkach Bay Davatame, Kari Anashe, Lo Yunel Tzadik Kol Oven. And he says, look, Hakadosh Baruch Hu protects the Tzadik. Meaning even though I'd love more details over here. I guess the fish looked kosher. It's hard to understand. If it looked kosher, it is kosher. Meaning, with fish, it's simply empirical, right? Fins, scales, and by the way, just as an excellent take home point, every fish that has scales will have fins. I mean, by definition, okay. In other words, there's no such aquatic animal that exists that have scales but don't have fins. Okay, and then it only begs the question: if that's true, why doesn't Torah just simply say scales? Okay. Anyway, but it's hard to understand, like, what he thought, and meanwhile someone called it a bati, and then he said, okay, I'm going to desist. Like, what was happening over there? Really unclear to me, but we continue in the Gemara. Karsha Chiltus, now we are continuing in the Gemara. We're in Lamed Testament Aleph, about two-thirds of the way down, and we're describing the next thing in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says it's Aser. Okay, now before we go on with the next Gemara, let's be clear. Okay? In order for there to be a transfer of taste from one to another, there has to be heat, and there has to be some sort of medium of transfer. Meaning that if I'm cooking a food, and I'm cooking it in a non-kosher pot, so great. So in other words, I have heat, meaning I have the fire in which I'm cooking, and I have a medium. Meaning the liquid now is going to be sending the taste from the pot into whatever food I'm cooking in. So if I'm cooking in a non-kosher pot, and it has been used in the last 24 hours, so there will be a transfer of taste from the pot into the food. Okay? Tarovis 101. The basics of Isser V'Heter. Now, what if there's no heat and it's just cold? So with cold, there's not going to be transfer of taste. But now we're going to be talking about cutting with a knife. You see, cutting with a knife, there is just but a little bit of heat, and that is the friction of the knife. In other words, when you're cutting, so you are now slightly going back and forth, and obviously because you're cutting, so that means that there is friction occurring as the knife is now being put back and forth through. And so that friction now is going to be just a little bit of heat, a hint of heat. Now, with that hint of heat, there is going to be just a small amount of transfer. But now, let's couple it together with the following. In our mission, we're describing the chiltis. Now, it is an important question, and it's unfortunate that I don't know the answer. A chiltis is a very sharp vegetable. Which vegetable is it? I don't know. But in other words, it's an extremely sharp vegetable. And so therefore now, I'm cutting with the knife, which is friction. I'm cutting a very sharp vegetable, and the two of those coupled together basically is the equivalent of full heat. And since it's equivalent to full heat, so therefore there's going to be a transfer of taste. I'm going to add one other point, which the Gemara is going to make, but I'll just simply say it right now. And that is, generally speaking, as we have already discussed in the Gemara a number of times, if a keli has not been used in the last 24 hours, we say that whatever tastes in there is basically now decayed. It's expired. And therefore, you don't have to consider it. That's the principle of no Saint Tom of Gam being mutter. However, when I have a knife cutting a very sharp vegetable, and even if the knife has not been used in the last 24 hours, because the vegetable is so sharp, coupled together with the friction, we're going to say now that the taste basically gets renewed, and even if the knife has not been used in the last 24 hours, it's still going to impart a non-kosher taste into this very sharp vegetable. Okay, that's all by way of introduction. Let's see all this inside. My time and mission de me paske le besakina. You're cutting it with a knife. Avagav damar no sin tam of gamutter. And even though, generally speaking, after 24 hours, the taste embedded in the walls of a pot or a knife has expired. Agav chorfe de chilta say. Because of the sharpness of that vegetable, so therefore it basically renews the taste embedded in the walls of the knife, and therefore it's going to be aser. A really important discussion in Tosfos over here. In other words, the Gemara over here is discussing the chiltis. Now again, as I've already acknowledged, I don't know what vegetable that is, but it's really sharp. Are we going to say something, are we going to say the same principle for other sharp vegetables, like an onion? Like a radish. So Tosos himself is not sure about that. Tosos quotes a couple of opinions. The first opinion he quotes, Tosos, by the way, Divra Maschel, Agav Chorfe Dechiltase. So Tosos writes, V'yesh Lomar, I'm just picking a line out of Tosos. Dechorfe Dechiltase Balatfe, V'losage Beklipa V'yesh Befarshim Kamokain, the butts of a couplet. Tosfos says the same thing is true regarding an onion and a radish. Shenechtev besakish al dikochavim, that was cooked with a knife of a non-Jew, de lo sagilei beklipa. It doesn't just simply have a small layer of taste that gets infused into the onion, the agav chorfe balatfei, that it's going to have a full infusion of taste that goes into the entire onion. That is one opinion cited by Tosfos. Tosfos cites another opinion as well. But anyway, it's a... Obviously, it's a real consideration that when you're cutting onions, garlic, you know, any sharp food, and you're doing so with a knife, in other words, in our kitchens, obviously the issue is basar b'chalav. But in other words, but if, you know, you're out there in the world, and they're cutting an onion, so there's a full transfer of taste, at least according to one opinion in Tosfos, which parenthetically is brought down the Shulchan Aruch. That's not parenthetical. There's a full transfer of taste from the knife into the onion, from the knife into the garlic. So obvious, and even if the knife hasn't been used in the last 24 hours.
In like seafood, for example, some fish, As long as they don't cut it, don't use the knife for any sharp vegetables, it's okay.
Right, so to say okay, in other words, there's fat residue on the knife that has to be taken into consideration, but in other words... Okay, so anyway, so look, like I always say, halach lemaisa, you ask a rav, but in terms of the principles that are involved, so the distinction over here, a very clear distinction between cutting a sharp food versus cutting a non-sharp food. Okay. We're going back to the Gemara, continuing in the Gemara. Avdi de Rabbi Leva avakam mazvein chiltasa. So the servant of Rabbi Levi, the attendant of Rabbi Levi, was selling chiltasa. And so obviously you have to be very careful when you cut it to make sure that you're not cutting it with a non-kosher knife. But he was very careful. And by the way, he worked for Rabbi Levi. So he's good. He not nashed the Rabbi Levi. Now Rabbi Levi dies. So now he no longer, this shamish no longer had his Rebbe. Does he still continue the practices of his Rebbe, even though his Rebbe is no longer alive? So also coming to Rabbi Yochanan, I assume it's a great question. I assume he was a Jew, but it's an assumption. I'm making that assumption. Also coming to Rabbi Yochanan, Amrle Maula Mizbe Minei, can we buy from him? Amrlehu Avdo Shochaver Harehu Kechaver. So he says, look, in other words, it was habit forming, and he still continues in the practices of his Rebbe. Now that I say it, I take it back. I'm unequivocal, or I should say better, I'm equivocating in terms of whether he was Jewish or not Jewish. He was a guy? Okay. I'm officially equivocating. Okay, continuing the Gemara. Rav Huna bar Minyum is zavent chilta me'anshe debete de Rav Amran Chasida. Now, when buying tcheles, so in back in the day in the Gemara, it was very popular to have counterfeit tcheles. In other words, it was called kala ilan, and there were unscrupulous people back in those days that when they were selling dye, so instead of getting the real tcheles, so they sold the kala ilan. So basically, you needed a reliable person when buying your tcheles. So the Gemara tells the story of Rav Huna bar Minyuma, who would buy from the house of Rav Amram Chasida because it was all under his auspices. And then also coming to Rav Yosef Lava Biyadei. And they go to Rav Yosef now and they wonder, now that he's no longer there, can we still do it? Paga bechanan chanan chaita amar le Yosef ani amanale bididi hava uvda dezvina techilta me anche de beisei de rabana achud Rav Yechia bar Abba va'asla kamen de Rav Masna lo hava biyadei. And again, this question keeps kicked around in terms of buying from a household where at least one person over there was very scrupulous. Also, coming to Rav Yehuda, Me'egrunya Amalei Nafalta Liyad. You fell to my hand, meaning basically you need me for an answer. Hachi Amar Shmuel. And I do have an answer. I have a tradition from Shmuel. Eish is Chaver, Harei Kechaver. So in other words, you're talking about the wife of a Chaver. You could buy it from her. Meaning just like he is going to be careful, so too, you can rest assured that she's going to be careful as well. Tana Rabbanesh's Chaver Arika Chaver Abdusha Chaver Arika Chaver. The Gemara says that being attached to a Chaver, either through marriage or through employment, so is you will have the status of a Chaver. Chaver Shemes Yisho Avano Vamenevesa Arehem Bechaskasan. So in fact, even after he dies, they still are going to enjoy the fine reputation. Ashikhashtu. Until basically they're proven that they no longer have that fine reputation. Also a chatzir, in other words, there's a courtyard of people there selling. So as long as now they have a reputation, a fine reputation, until you know otherwise, you can keep buying from that chatzir. Let's say you're coming from the other side of the tracks, and you either marry a chaver, or the daughter of an amaritz that marries a chaver. Or let's say you're a slave being sold to a chaver. So you have to pledge allegiance to the fraternity of Chaverim. Basically, it's not complicated, by the way. Meaning, you've been living a life where you have not been careful about Trumas and Maestros and other areas where the Amaratzim are not careful about. And so basically, you just have to affirm that you're ready to take on a more religious lifestyle. Aval eishes chaver shenisa samarit v'chein bito shachaver shenisa samarit v'chein avdo shachaver shenimka laamarit einan tzrichin lekabel diver chaver sechatchila diver Reb Meir. What if you are the wife or the eved of a chaver, and then you switch teams, and now you're either now married to a non-chaver, or you're employed, or you're, I should say, better owned by non-chaver. So now what? So according to Reb Meir, you're still good. And Reb Yehuda Omer Avhein Tzrichin LaKabel Devar Chaver Lechatchila. And Reb Yehuda says no, unless they positively affirm that they're going to continue their past their previous nihug, you have to assume now that marriage with an Am Haaretz is basically, that's it. In other words, you're gonna be influenced by your husband. You're gonna be influenced by your owner. And the Gemara says, look, it's nature, it's human nature. We had this woman, she was married to a chaver, and basically she helped him with the tefillin. She then was married to a tax collector, and the tax collector who was unscrupulous, and basically she helped him with his nefarious tax collecting practices.
The fact that
Aishas Chava
is willing to marry
an Amoret
indicates that
okay.
She lost her.
Fine. I'm a Kabbal. I hear that. One seal, two seals. This is not the first time in this parak we're describing the requirement of making sure that no one tampers with the food while it's in transit. How many seals do I need? So sometimes one, sometimes two. And the Gemara now articulates chalav, basar, yain, tcheles, milk, meat, wine, and tcheles. So asurin bechosam echad, for them one seal is insufficient. The obvious question: why? Rashi over here points out top Rashi on the Amud lishagir biyaro v'kocham dekem debasar v'tcheles demeim yikarim tarach umezayef laachlifam, because it's so expensive. And so,
I think
we're talking about the dye. So because they're so expensive, so therefore there is a higher motivation to basically swap it out with something cheaper, two seals. However, continuing in the Gemara, chiltus morius paskvina mutarim bechosam echad. And however, when it comes to the sharp vegetable, the fish brine, bread, and cheese, so it would be permitted even with one chosam, with one seal. Okay. Rashi now says that the next couple of lines of Gemara should be taken out. The Bach sides with the Rashi as well. And Maishna Gvina is where we're going to pick it up in the Gemara. Basically, we're going to be skipping the next couple of lines of Gemara. Right? Yeah. We're going to be skipping it until we get to the Maishna Gvina. Right? You see that? We're now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines down. Maishna Gvina. The Maishna Gvina de Lotarech Umezayef. Chalav Nami Lotarech Umezayef. So the Gemara says, cheese, the people are not going to go through the trouble of counterfeiting the, swapping it out with something else. So, chalav nami lo tarach mezayif. Amar Afghana, afik chalav va'aya, va'ayel, chatichas dag she'in basiman. So the Gemara says, no. Take out milk from the list and replace it with pieces of fish that do not have a clear marking that it's kosher. Hainu basar. So the Gemara says, okay, but isn't that the same thing as meat? Answers, Gemara Tregav Nebasar. Yeah, okay. Meat and fish. You're right. They're both proteins. But they're listed separately. Shmuel Amar Beis Asr Bechosam Echad Machag Mutar Bechosam Echad. Shmuel has a different way to organize the information. And the Gemara spells it out. Basar, Yain Tcheles, Asurim Bechosam Echad. So meat, wine, Tcheles. You need a double seal to make sure that there was no tampering. Again, we could say like Rashi, these are expensive items, so therefore there is more motivation. However, Moryas, Chiltus, and Gvina mutarim b'chosam echad. But the fish brine, the Chiltus, and the cheese, so one seal would be enough. The Shmuel Chatichas Dag Shein Basim and Haina Basar. Fish that is unmarked, isn't that the same thing as meat? Trey Gavne Basar Lo Amrinan. So the Gemara says, well, in other words, for him, fish and meat are basically synonymous. Ten Rabbanan Elohim Yamach Mechag Basurya. In the Ten of Surya, don't buy Yamach and Mechag. The Gemara spells it out. Lo Yaim Velo Moritz Velo Chala Velo Melech Sal Kondaris Velo Chiltus Velo Gvina Ela Min Amumcha. You can only buy it from somebody who is who you trust and know is not going to be adding any non-kosher product. V'kulam im nitarech etzel balabais mutter. Now, if they invite you to the house, you can eat at their house. Rashi over here explains the reason why is because in their own house they keep kosher. They're just not that careful about the isser of lifnei iver. So even though they themselves keep kosher, the idea for these people of selling it, even though there's non-kosher additive, doesn't bother them so much. The balabais who sends it directly from his house is fine. My tama balabais will shavik heitera va'achal isura v'chim eshagalei mimay da'achem eshagalei. When he's sending it, he's sending it from that which is in his own from his own house. And again, as I explained, that which comes from his own house is mutter. Let's just quickly finish up. Melech salkondaris. My melech salkondaris. I'm Rav Yehuda. I'm Rav Shmuel. Melech shekosan kondar erome ochlim oso. Eaten by Roman dignitaries. Rashi says, a lot of non-kosher additives, specifically non-kosher fish, is added to this dish. Tana rabbana melech salkondaris shechazra. I'm sorry. Shechor asur levana muteres. A difference between white versus black. Divri Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda Amr Levana Asur Shchara Muteres. He goes the other way. Rabbi Yehuda Ben Gamliel Mishum Rabbi Chanin Ben Gamliel Amr Zuf Azur Asur. They're both Asur. Amr Rabba Ben Bachana. Amr Rabbi Yochanan Divri Amr Levana Asura Kivei Dagim Levanim Tamei Muravim Ba. The white is Asur because white fish brine is added. The Divri Amr Shchara Asur Kivei Dagim Shcharim Tamei Muravim Ba. The non-kosher black fish brine is added. The Divri Amr Zuf Azur Asur Zuf Azem Muravim Ba. Am Rabbi Abao Mishum Rabbi Chanin Ben Gamliel Zaken Echad Ayabish Kunasosh Ayam Machlik Paneh Bishum and Chazir. Another consideration is that the fat of a pig is a lard. Thank you. Lard is basically added as one of the ingredients. Hare Elu Asurim Lamuti Ay Lechiska Lamuti Biadua Lerav Yoch Lamuti Muris Vigvina Beis Unaiki Vistamaka Rab Meir. The Mishnah then has the final heading of these things are going to be Asur, but only Asur Bachila. Not behana. What does that exclude? So if, let's say, you had moryas where you know, or the pickled food, I should say, where you know for sure that wine was introduced, that's asur behana. According to Rav Yochanan, moryas and cheese of base unaiki are asur behana. That is according to the opinion of Rav Meir. And stam, our Mishnah is going like the shita of Rabbi Meir. Will stop.